All right. Can you hear me?
All right.
You know, one of the things that I was sweating bullets down there is not embarrassing myself coming up these stairs here. You know, it's almost like climbing the Mayan temple. And I was just embarrassed that I just tripped in front of all of you. And so I took my time, I made it, and so it's good, it's good. God bless you, Pastor Robert. God bless you, Kathy. God bless you for having me. Honored to be here, I really am. I have my little honey here, my little chocolate wife here of over. And I love chocolate, let me tell you something. Of over 30 years, and she's up front here, and amen. I tell people we got married at 5, and you understand. It was a range kind of thing, you know, but we've been together for 36 years, been married almost 31. Matter of fact, in a couple months, it'll be 31 years, and so very thankful for her, and I tell folks everywhere I go, I am who I am because of that woman there. And so now for you super spiritual ones, we know it's the Lord. We know the Lord. I just know how you are. I really do. So it's just good. It's good to be here. We also have friends of ours that's been with the ministry for a long time, but Uncle Sam's been having them running all over the place. So I think we finally are able to nail them down. They're about to retire. And Kevin and Tonetta Stiff, they are up front here with us. And so very thankful for them. And then there's another sweet couple that's here at the church here, but they were with us. So Pastor Rob, they're on loan. You know, Uncle Sam kind of got him, you know, nailed down too. Emily and John and Emily, Emily said she's been praying for me to come here for the longest. And so me being here, I'm gonna answer a prayer. So she's back in one of these little rooms and back there somewhere in these little cry rooms or somewhere she is. And so God bless you, hey, wherever you are. But definitely I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be here. This is a tremendous privilege and honor to be before you and to share the word of God with you. It's just great to look at the different styles of speakers. It just shows you can have five pastors that are gifted as being a pastor, but they will minister in five different ways. Because that just shows the uniqueness of the God we serve, and it's just great. And I'm honored to have also a friend and a mentor of mine, Pastor David Guzik, out there. God bless you, my brother. And we talk about the scriptures and the word and all that kind of stuff. So, with all those pleasantries out of the way, let's dive into the word of God. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter. I'm going to start with chapter 5, verse 1. Then I'm going to, go from there. And Father, we pray that as we dive into your word and turn the pages in your word, that you would turn the pages of our hearts. We pray, God, that the secrets of our hearts will be revealed today. Lord, cleanse us from secret faults, as David prayed. And we pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would teach us the truths of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I was so blessed by my other friend, Daniel Fusco. I didn't even see D today. What? Oh, there you are. Okay, my brother. All right, I see you back there. God bless you. I was blessed by him last night, and it's just great. So by way of titles, I saw the other guys send PowerPoint and all that stuff. I didn't know I was supposed to send all that, Nobody told me. Where's Gabe? Gabe didn't tell me, I was supposed to send all that kind of stuff. I saw little points coming up and stuff. I said, I don't have points and stuff coming up. So we have to do it old school, so you hear me say, and you can put this in your notes or you note takers. And so we got to do it old school. So by way of title, I'm going to title this, Who Are You Imitating? Who are you imitating? Now, I know that that title may seem a little weird because you say, you know what, we're Christian leaders and you know, we're pastors and leaders. Of course, we're imitating the Lord. Oh, but once we get done, we're going to see who you're really imitating. And this is going to be a great time. So look what it says there in chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. What a great verse. The first thing he tells us is to be imitators of God as dear children. You know, we're in that very practical section of the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters dealing with, you know, what God has done for us. And we know that. And then the second part of the book is in chapter 4, verses 1 down all the way to chapter 6. And that's that more practical part. So we're in that practical part. But here it is. He's telling us to be imitators of God as dear children. The word imitator is in the Greek is mimetis. It's where we get mimic from. It means to imitate a person's pattern and a pattern of life exactly. So we're told to mimic or imitate. Oh, it's the same Greek word that is used in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, when Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Mimetis, the same word. It's also the same Greek word in 1 Corinthians 4, 16. He said, therefore, I urge you to imitate me, the same Greek word. To follow a pattern. So, Paul, I can understand you saying, follow me as I follow Christ. I pray one day I will be able to say that to people. But here's Paul. He is saying, you know, we can follow him. Paul, I get you. But what I don't get is for you to come out and now say, be imitators of God. How can we, finite beings, imitate an infinite God? Paul, you're asking us to do something that is impossible to do. We understand when you say, look, imitate me. I therefore urge you to imitate me or follow me as I follow Christ. Paul, I can get you. You're the greatest Christian who ever lived. So I can get that. But now you're asking me to do something that is impossible to do. To follow me as I follow Christ. I got that, but therefore I urge you to follow me. Okay, now you're saying be imitators of God. I'm so glad for the rest of that verse, as dear children. We know as children, that's how we learn. That's how our children learn. They learn by imitating us, mimicking us. You see the little boy that can barely look above the sink, and he's trying to put some soap on his face and try to shave like daddy. Or the little girl, she would put on the little scarf and she'd get the heels and click, 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 all around the house. Because that's what mom does. Children learn by imitation. They watch us. They're watching what we say. They're watching what we do. And so that's how they learn. And therefore, for us, he says, be imitators of God. I'm glad he put the rest of that as dear children. So we are called to imitate God, to mimic God. We're called to do it. God's calling is his enabling, Pastor Chuck taught us. What God called us to do, he will enable and empower us to carry it out. So I'm glad I don't have to imitate God in my own strength and own power because I'll fall miserably short. So therefore, God will give us the power and the strength to do what he's asking us to do. So how do we imitate God as dear children? Oh, that word dear means beloved. Oh, did you know that you're beloved today? And all of your mess and all of your hot messness, that you're beloved by God. I'm reminded of Daniel when the angel finally got to Daniel and said, oh, Daniel, greatly beloved by God. And God loves you as well. And no matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing, he still loves you. And he's calling you dear children. He could have easily said, be imitators of God, you brats. He could have easily, you know, could have. But he called us dear children. So in order for us to do that, there are some things about us that we must deal with. And I believe that this verse tells us the direction to go to know how we're to deal with being imitators of God. What is it about our lives that will keep us from imitating God? And I believe the very first word gives us a hint. The very first word is therefore. You gonna find something in that? Yes, I am. Therefore is a transitional conjunction that takes us back to what was previously said. It's therefore means because of what was previously said, this is why this is true, this statement. So that means that will take us back into chapter 4. To get the context, we have to go to verse 25. And look what it says there, therefore. That means we got to go further back. It goes back to verses 17 to 24. Now, in those verses, what we see here is there's some things we're told to put off, and there's some things we're told to put on. And so this is what we need to see. Because we are new in Christ Jesus, we're a new person, there's some things we're told to put off. These things we're told to put off will keep us from being imitators of God as dear children. That now that we're in Christ, so we see in those particular verses, he said for us in verse 22, to put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Therefore, we're told to put these things off. That word put off in the Greek, apenthithemi, it's an amazing word. It's a great word. It means to put off. It means to, it carried the connotation of taking off old clothes at the end of the day. Clothes that's been stained, clothes that's been spotted. It's to take off dirty clothes. And this same word, apenthithemi, it's an amazing word. The same word is used in John 11:44 to refer to Lazarus' grave clothes. It was told to put off. So we're told to put off those things. It's the same Greek word that's used in verse 25 that we're going to get to. It's the same Greek word that's used in Hebrews 12, verse 1, when it says, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnare me. Lay aside, apenthithemi, same word. In 1 Peter 2, 1, therefore put aside all malice. Put aside, apenthithemi, same word, to put off. So we're told to put off, but God doesn't leave us naked. He's going to tell us what to put on. And we see that there in verse 24, and that you will put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We're told now to put something on. Enduo is the Greek word. It means to put on clothes. God told us to take off something. Now he's telling us to put on something. Put on the new man. We've been created in Christ Jesus. Now we're to put that on. God just doesn't leave us naked. And now here are some things. He's going to tell us some things that we must put off. Because they will keep us from being imitators of God as dear children. We're his dear children. So there are some things we must put off. It is very obvious that we're put off certain things when we became born again, but there are some things we still carry baggage into our new life that will keep us from being imitators of God as dear children. He's going to tell us there. Look what he says there, starting in verse 25. Therefore, putting away, apenthithemi, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. The first thing we're told to put off is lying. Well, you know, we're Christians, we don't lie. Oh, yeah, yes, we do. Even pastors lie. We used to call it back in the 80s and stuff, we used to call it evangelistically speaking. Oh, there were 5,000 people at that event, and it was 50. Just evangelistically speaking, we lie all the time. See, and we're told to put this away. Notice this is first on the list. We're told to put this away because remember, we're told to be imitators of God as dear children. And when we lie, we're imitating the father of lies, which is Satan himself, John 8:44. So we're called to be children of God. And if we're called to be children of God, the first thing we must put off is lying. He said, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Truth, you notice in the armor of God, it's the belt of truth that holds the rest of the armor up. So truth must characterize us. We as Christians, we lie all the time. The sky is falling all around us. The ground is crumbling. And we come to church and someone asks, hey, how you doing? Oh, things are great. Yeah, everything's great. Everything's not great. You just lied. And that's just why he said, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we're members of one another. But when we lie to each other, it destroys the unity of the body of Christ. You know why? Because if you had come here and spoke truth and said, you know what? You know, I'm struggling with this. Can you pray for me? Now, when you say everything is great, you left out of here. You could have got prayed for. You could have got touched. You could have got ministered to. But instead, you left out of here with your lie with you. And now we're in a situation where we hear that you a casualty in Christianity. And we're like, wow, I wish he had told us what was going on. I wish he had shared. See, men, I'm talking to us especially. You know why? Because we're the one that's like, you know, don't you go to that church telling our business. Well, men, let me let you in on a secret. She already told your business to her sister on the phone, her mother, her good friend. Your business is already out there. So we're told, we're just getting started. So we're told to put away lying because it destroys the unity of the body of Christ. So we have to put that away. The second thing he tells us to put away is in verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Huh. Be angry and don't sin. So it is possible where we can keep anger from sliding down into sin. There's something about time. When we allow, see, here's the thing. As soon as you get angry, the clock is ticking. Because it said, don't let the sun go down on your anger. So there's something about time and anger that when you allow minutes and hours to tick away like a time bomb, something happens. So this is why he says, be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. This is why I always tell couples, never go to bed angry. Something happens when you wake up. There's someone there to meet you. Because the anger has some friends. When you allow the sun to go down on the anger, you'll wake up and his boy bitterness has moved in. And then when you continue to not get it right, then what happens is then they bring their friend. They have a friend named Hatred. And then when all of that is continued to simmer, then they bring their friend murder. Oh, you won't physically do it. At least I hope you don't. But you'll murder someone's reputation. You'll murder their good name. All because you're angry. Angry at other churches down the street that's prospering more than you are. And you begin to pick apart their doctrine and talk about how they're this and they believe this. And you're putting someone else down to lift yourself up. A pastor told me, you never do that. He had been in ministry for over 60 years. He said, you never put someone down to lift yourself up. You're angry. Angry staff people, angry because someone left the church. You see them out at the store and you just act like you don't see them and just cold when you speak to them. Hey, let me tell you something. I'm a pastor. I've been there. I've done all these things. Angry. See, what happens is when we allow anger and the sun to go down on our anger, then what happens is that anger began to weave itself into our messages. And we will teach with anger. oh, some people may not catch it because they may say that you're coming off passionate and fiery, and all the time it's anger. And we got to deal with that stuff. This is something we must put off. If we want to be an imitator of God as dear children, we must put it off. Because, see, what happens is, I was thinking about this a couple of days ago. And I never shared this at this part of the message. I'm showing you what happens when we allow anger to just simmer in there and just go crazy. I'm reminded of Samson in Judges 15. When he left and went back home, they gave his wife to another guy. So he's coming to see his wife, and they said, no, hold up, dude. No, you can't go in there. I said, what you talking about? That's my wife. No, well, we thought you hated her. So we gave her to your best man. Broke the man code. You don't do that. And sure enough, he said, okay. Y'all gonna do that to me? Okay. And he got ticked off. And that's when he grabbed the fox and put the, you know, tied the tail together, put a torch in, and burned up the field. Oh, I just wonder how many fields has been burned up by our anger. And his anger burned that entire field up. And there's been many times that I've burned the church up with my anger. Burned it up. And I'm here to tell you that many of you came here angry. Angry. And one of the main things about us as pastors, the main thing you're angry about is because the church isn't growing like you think it should. And you're ticked. But here's the thing. Watch this. You're a little subtly ticked at God. Oh, you don't want to say it. You would never say it, but in your heart, God sees it. You're a little bit upset at him because you're saying in your heart, hey, God, you say you're no respecter of person. However, how is it that they're growing down there and they teaching this kind of weird and I'm trying to teach your word? Guys, I've been there. Hey, I'm one of you. I've been there. We have to put the anger off. Why? Why do we need to put the anger off? Because of verse 27. Nor give place to the devil. When we allow the sun to go down on our anger, we give place to the devil. The connotation is, you know, when someone tries to close the door and you stick your foot in there to keep the door from closing? This is what happens when we allow the sun to go down on our anger. We give place to the devil. It's been rightfully said, you give Satan an inch and he will become your ruler. And what happens is, this is what happens. Watch this. Nor give place to the devil. Diablos is the Greek word. It means slanderer. You know, that's a name for Satan. Watch this. When we allow the sun to go down on our anger, we give place to Satan to turn us into the Diablos. And we become the slanderer of the one we're angry with. Oh, we're told to be imitators of God as dear children. We got to put this aside. Because now Satan has turned us into the Diablos, into the slanderer. And we're slandering that person who we're angry with, be it your spouse, or be it someone at church, or somebody down the street at another church. We become the Diablos to that person. And we're told we got to put that away. We got to put that away. Oh, look what it says there in verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Notice this. Let him who stole, past tense, steal, present tense, no longer. Or the Greek word for steal is crypto. Klepto, should I say. Where we get kleptomaniac. A person who refuses to stop stealing. So it's like you used to steal. That was what you used to do. But now You should steal no longer. If we want to be imitators of God as dear children, we have to stop stealing. You say, I don't steal. Really? Well, the basic meaning of stealing is to take something that doesn't belong to you. How often have you taken the credit, Pastor, for something somebody in the church has done? How many times you've taken the credit from God himself? And God is supposed to get the glory, and all the time we're allowing the glory to come to us. Oh, there's nothing wrong with an attaboy and a pat on the back, and you bless me, amen, all right. There's nothing wrong with that. But are you always trying to upstage God? Oh, you would never admit that in your heart. Because there's some glitch in your character that you need to be needed and you need to be appreciated all the time. And here it is. Let him who stole steal no longer. I can't believe how many pastors steal from God when it comes to the tithe. Oh, please don't get me on that. And please don't try to, well, you know, tithing is not for the New Testament. You'll be up way past your bedtime to try to argue that with me. And there are pastors who rob God. And you wonder why the windows of heaven isn't opened up upon the ministry. And you're always struggling. I'm not saying, no matter what, church is going to, when it comes to financial things, we're always going to struggle. Folks are tripped and they're not going to tithe like they're supposed to. And so we're always going to be kind of struggling. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about pastors who lead the way in tithing. Please don't send me a message and say, when you talked about that, I'm not going to read it. I'm going to tell you that now. I'm not going to read it. So don't waste your time even trying to type something to me. I'm not going to read it. Not going to read it at all. But it says, let him who stole steal no longer. But it says, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. It's funny. I was giving this message. And I was talking about this part of the verse, and it says, but rather let him labor working with his hands what is good. And I said, did you catch that? Because there are many people who will say, well, I'm laboring. I'm laboring as a prostitute. And he said, no, laboring what is good. That's not good. I sell drugs. It says labor what is good. That's not good. And so here we have to look at this thing here. Oh, when I think of drugs, I just thought about something. Pastor friend told me from Colorado that I could use this. Because, my bro, Daniel was talking about, beer and the Bible. He said, well, in Colorado, you're talking about weed and the word. So he said I can use that. Weed and the word, wow. Beer in the Bible, weed in the word. Whoa. Whoa. Wow. Amazing. But it says, let them labor what is good. Why? So you can give to those who has need. So the reason why we're laboring is so we can give. Did you know we're most like God when we give? For God so loved the world that he gave. We're most like God when we give. And so that's why giving is such a struggle for so many people. Because we're called, especially for us, we're called to be imitators of God. We should be the most generous people around because we're imitators of God. And God is a giver of life, giver of his son. He gave. So we can give to those who have need, not so we can hoard it. And constantly hoard it so we can buy constantly nice little trinkets and things and stuff for ourselves. Just greedy little greedies. No. The way you stop being stingy and selfish, you give out of your, you give. That's how you stop from being so selfish and stuff. So he tells us that. So in order for us to imitate God, we have to stop stealing. Look what he says in verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So now we're told to let no corrupt word, sapros is that Greek word. It means that which is, it carries that which is spoiled, that which is rotten. It carries the connotation of rotten fruit or spoiled meat. So it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. I'm shocked at how many Christians and people call themselves Christians who still use profanity. I'm shocked. I'm shocked at that. They throw off and string some four-letter words together, and I'm just like, dude, really? I'm shocked at this. The Bible says, let no corrupt word, a word that is rotten, that is spoiled, that is worthless, proceed out of your mouth. Guys calling their wives the B word. All kind of this mess. And we're calling ourselves children of God. We're told to imitate God. And one of the things and one of the ways we imitate God is by putting away this kind of mess. So he says, look, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but the conjunction of contrast, but what is good for necessary edification. That word edification is a construction word. It means to build up. It spoke of like building up a house or building up some structure. So we have to ask ourselves before we let this out of our mouth, will it build my wife up? Will it build my husband up? Will it build the children up? Will it build the church up? This is a big one. I was thinking about this doing worship. Will it build up? Will it build them up in the most holy faith? And then it goes on that it may impart grace to the hearers. That God unmerited favor with what we're saying. The Bible says in Colossians 4:6, let our speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that we may know how to answer each one. So, oh my goodness, my wife told me I only got 10 minutes. Good gracious, what? Okay, we're not gonna count that intro part, you know, the part of, we're not gonna count that. Not count that. So it gotta minister grace to the hearers, that when people hear us, the Bible said that the people heard the gracious words that flow from the mouth of Jesus. That when people hear us talk, are they hearing grace? Oh, this is something that touches me personally. What my children are, what they're about to hear that's now grown now, but my children or my grandchildren now, what are they hearing grace come from daddy, from grandpa? The church, are they hearing grace or are they hearing anger? This is something we have to put off. Okay, I got to speed it up a little bit. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve. Lupeo is the Greek word. It means to cause pain to cause sorrow. So do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom we're sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve. Now, that's an amazing word there. Because what happened is when we don't put away lying, we're angry and allow the sun to go down on our anger. When we give in place to the devil, when we're stealing, when we're allowing corrupt words to proceed out of our mouth, the Holy Spirit that's in us, that's sealed to the day of redemption, is in us like, it's grief. It didn't say it would be grieved away, but it's just grieved. It's grieved. It's the Spirit of God that produces joy in us. Then the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if the Spirit is grieved, it can't produce joy in us. And so you as a believer, instead of bubbling over with joy, you're bummed out. And you're like, what's wrong? I don't know what's wrong. You do. Because you've been grieving the Spirit with this kind of stuff here. And the Spirit of God will let you know when he's grieved. You sense something in you like, I need to get that right with God. And so we have to put those things away. We kind of stop grieving the spirit. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. What I love and what I want to point out here is, notice it says, let all bitterness. You know why I believe Paul said let all bitterness? Because there's some bitterness we feel justified. There's some things we're angry about. We allow the sun to go down on our anger. Bitterness has come in. There's some bitterness we feel justified based upon being angry at a father that walked out on the family, being angry with an ex-spouse that sued you or ex-partner that ripped you off. And there's some anger that you carried in here today, still angry, and you feel justified in that anger because they did me wrong. Let me tell you, that's why Paul said, let all bitterness, anger, wrath, evil speaking be put away from you. Yeah. Not some of it. And notice evil speaking, because that word there for evil speaking, it means that you speak about this person in order to harm their reputation. And I've seen this happen, where another church will call and say, well, you know, I got this person here. They say they used to work there. What do you think of this person? Oh, you got a couple hours? Let me tell you what they did and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying we don't share some things, and I'm not saying that. But are you saying these things and speaking these things about that person because you're trying to harm their reputation? And maybe you're here and you're a boss, and there's some job that called and said, hey, this person said they worked for you, and now you're going to speak and going to harm that person's reputation. Hey, maybe it just didn't work. Maybe it just wasn't a fit. It just wasn't a good fit. Okay, that's cool. If it wasn't a good fit, okay. You don't have to harm their reputation, because this showed that you're angry and bitter over what they did with you, and now you're going to try to harm their reputation. Now, because of social media, the entire world will know what took place. Girl, you should, and you just start putting on Facebook and social media, Instagram pictures and stuff. I had to tell people constantly, stop fighting on social media. Stop putting your business out and fight. Stop. I had to write folks and say, stop doing that. It doesn't look good. It's because you're angry. Let it go. It's over. Because see, here's the thing. When you're angry with someone, it only hurts you. They're going on with their life, and that ticks you off more. Because you want them to be angry with you, and they're not, and they've gone on with another girl, and that just makes you hot, and you just burn up the field like Samson did. Okay, I know I kind of probably been around 2 minutes. Okay, all right. Okay, with all malice. Oh, I wish I can deal with that word. Let me just say this quickly. Malice is that slow burning anger underneath the surface. It hasn't come out yet. When it comes out, then it's wrath. Wrath is the explosion of anger. Anger is internal, wrath is external. And malice is just when you know, and when you see that person, you kind of turn your head and squint that eye. Ooh. That's malice. You have malice. And the Bible said put that away too. You see them out somewhere and you just, ooh. Yeah, put that mess away. Look at verse 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So we're told to be kind to one another. Christians should be kind. I've seen Christians, they're mean. It's on the road driving, somebody's trying to get in, they got their turn signal on, and all of a sudden you speed up. And you can feel them looking at you like, and you won't look. Let the person in. You kidding me? Let them in. That's mean. We're told to be kind. Kind to one. It says tender-hearted. Tender, that is the opposite of hard-hearted. We should always remain tender. Tender to the Spirit of God, tender to people, tender-hearted, tender. Men, tender doesn't mean, you know, that we're sissies or some punk. No, no, we're tender like the Lord. The Lord was no punk, no sissy. And then the last thing I'm going to deal with, it says forgiving one another. I'm thankful that the rest of that verse is there. Forgiving one another, because he didn't tell us, or should I say, he's telling us how we should forgive, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave you. That's what's critical here. Because if he had just said, forgive one another, then we would use our definition of forgiveness. I forgive you, but I won't forget. You can take that to the bank. God doesn't give us room to do that. He says, forgiving one another, then he tells us how. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Show me a person that doesn't forgive, and I'll show you the person that has forgotten or doesn't realize how much they have been forgiven. Some of you came here with unforgiveness. Unforgiveness towards an ex. Unforgiveness toward a boss that fired you. You probably deserve to be fired. You just understand that. If they're anything like me, because the Marine Corps trained me in such a way, you 1 minute late, you UA, unauthorized absence, Article 86, you can get money taken away from you and all that good stuff. They trained me well. I've been out of the Marine Corps for now 30 years, and I still remember that stuff. They trained me well. So if you late, they know at our church, for one thing, I don't do late. If you're on time, you late. And that's just me. So one thing I loved is as the countdown to service is taking place, Pastor Robert is right here. And when that countdown, he's right here greeting you. Oh, God bless you. Good evening. Good to see you here. And it's a great blessing. I said, wow, he's on time. I like that. I like that. Some of you think if church started at 9 o'clock, you think if you leave the house at 9, you're on time. I don't get that. Some of you think that worship, a half an hour worship, is just a little extra time for you to get here. Okay. I just had to get that out. I'm sorry. So forgiving one another. Let me close with this story here. You remember in Matthew 18, Jesus gave this story because they were talking about forgiveness. How often should I forgive? Up to this many times or whatever. So, and Jesus told a story. He said there was a guy who owed this king so much money he couldn't even pay it. So he was standing before the king and, you know, he begged the king, oh, king, I don't have it. I can't. Yo, king, please forgive me. I can't pay you. And the king forgave him. And all of a sudden, that guy left out. And he saw a guy who owed him about a few dollars. And he said, man, come here, don't run. Come here. You owe me that money. And he said, he took him by the throat. Said, pay me what you owe. And then the guy fell on the ground and did the exact same thing to him that he did to the king. Oh, I can't pay you. Please forgive me. And he threw him into debtor's prison at that time. If you didn't have the money to pay, they threw you into debtor's prison till you pay it. So all of a sudden, as they threw this guy into prison, there were some people who were watching. And they went and told the king, King, you remember that guy that was here? He was crying, you know, it's not coming down, I know you're crying. He was just, you remember that guy? And he said, yes. He said, the guy you forget? He said, yes. He said, we just saw that dude out here. There was a guy who owed him all this money, and he took him by the throat and threw him into debtor's prison. He did what? Yeah, king, he did. He said, bring that guy here. He brought that guy. Said, dude, didn't I forgive you of your whole debt? You couldn't pay me. Said, yes, yes, king. He said, why didn't you forgive that person out there that just owed you a few dollars? And then Jesus said this, deliver him to the torturers, and so too my heavenly Father will do to each of you if each of you from his heart doesn't forgive his brother. Many of you are being tortured by unforgiveness right now. And Jesus says, so too my Heavenly Father will do to each of you if each of you from his heart doesn't forgive. When I was in Matthew 18, I titled that message, The Prison of Unforgiveness. And many people, many of you here are in the prison of unforgiveness that the Lord wants to set you free from. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He wants to set you free from the prison of unforgiveness. Not forgiving a staff member that left and went to another church. Not forgiving a worship leader that took off or somebody who ripped the church off of money and all kind of mess. And we carry that stuff as pastors. And so this is why he says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now here it is, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. This is it right here. So as we close, we're going to pray. And maybe one of those things, maybe it's unforgiveness for you. Maybe it's for you stretching the truth. Maybe it's for you stealing. Maybe it's corrupt words that you're allowing to come out of your mouth and you're ministering out of anger and not out of grace. And whatever it is, the Lord wants to set you free from. Maybe it's unforgiveness. He loves us. Remember, we're his dear children. And he loves us. So let's close in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you as your dear children. Lord, we want to imitate you. Lord, we want to be dear children of yours. You paid the ultimate price for us. And dear God, I just pray that you'll forgive us. Lord, I pray that you'll forgive us for not laying aside, Lord, those things and not speaking truth to our neighbor. Because you said we're members of one another. Forgive us, Lord, for allowing the sun to go down on our anger. Forgive us for giving place to the devil. Forgive us for stealing, Lord. Forgive us for allowing corrupt words to proceed out of our mouths instead of those things which are ministering grace to the hearers. Forgive us for grieving your spirit by whom we're sealed to the day of redemption. Forgive us, Lord, for not putting away all anger and bitterness and wrath and evil speaking, be put away with all malice. Forgive us for not doing that. Forgive us, Lord, for not being kind to one another, tenderhearted and forgiving to one another. But Lord, we're your dear children. We come into you to ask for forgiveness and for you to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you that you love us and we can come to you because we are your dear children that you're told to imitate you. We pray for the power and the strength to do that today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.